an older woman in a very large, expensive sedan is inching slowly through a parking lot trying to find a place to park when she sees a space up ahead not far from the door. And she's getting closer, and all of a sudden, this young college kid cuts her off and whips into that space that was clearly for her. And he hops out of his car and he smiles sarcastically and says to her, "Oh, to be young and fast." And he goes into the store. He comes out a few minutes later to see that she has taken her big sedan and has been ramming his little car to pieces. She rolls down her window and smiles at him and says, "Oh, to be old and rich." And the reason that we like that story is that we like to root for people who get angry. We want to go see a movie called Dr. Bruce Banner. We want to go see The Incredible Hulk. We want to go to a hockey game and see some teeth get knocked out. We want our hero to get angry and bring justice to the situation. We root for people to get angry. And here's the truth. Anger is not always wrong, especially when it is in response to something that is wrong. But anger, even when it is right, can quickly become very wrong because it can become bondage. So we have been in this series that we have called Alive and Free, and the premise is that Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the grave, and he did not just bring us freedom from the penalty of sin, he brought us freedom from the power of sin. Several weeks back, I had asked for many of you to share on a card an area of your life where you were wanting to have freedom from bondage. And today, out of the 32 cards that I receive, is the second highest topic from the majority of you. Next week, my father-in-law, Bob Curry, is going to preach on the first highest topic. That's fear. But today, we are talking about anger. And the reality is that we live in a fallen world, and one of the fallouts of fallenness is a constant opportunity to be frustrated and get angry. So I'm not going to tell you today that you should never get angry, but I want to ask you a question. Is anger a frequent companion? Does it tend to move into a room in your mind and have an extended stay? Do you visit the state of mad often? In other words, are you in bondage to anger even as you tell yourself you don't have a problem with anger? And what we tell ourselves is critically important because, as we have already said earlier in this series, all bondage is founded on lies. And anger particularly depends on myths to justify it. And so, a myth that we tell ourselves is that I cannot control my temper. Now, this is a common tactic used by spewers. Basically, there are two ways people display anger. One way is to spew. You erupt. You just let it all out and you blow up. So some of you are spewers, and some of you are stewers. You don't erupt, you just take it in, and you let it fester, and you let it boil and grow for days and weeks and even longer. So in the interest of congregational education, hold up your hand if you are a spewer. Remember, you're in church, you can't lie to God. Okay? your hand if you are a stewer. Right? Hold up both hands if you didn't hold up a hand and you lied. See, here's what spewers do. They call it venting. They'll say it's healthy to get it all out so that you can be free from it. Well, it might make you feel better. But have you ever caused collateral damage of your eruption? Have you ever held a little baby in your arms? And that baby can be smiling and cooing and looking at you so precious, and all of a sudden he spits up this gooey substance all over himself, and it's on you, it's on the furniture, and that baby feels great. But how do you feel? You see, the spewer says, I'm just being real. I'm just trying to be authentic. And that is the word that they use. But I want you to see the word that the Bible uses. This is what Kay read earlier, Proverbs 29. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Over and over and over, our Bible associates anger with acting like a fool. Anger makes you a fool. You see, the reality is that anger is your choice because you control it when you want to. Most of us, when the policeman pulls us over, are able to control our temper. Now, if you had a fight in the car right before you came into church this morning, the very first person you see, you're not going to go, do you know what he just said? You're going to shake their hand and say, praise Jesus, it's good to see you. You can turn it off. We are not in bondage to anger because we cannot help it. It is because we do not want to help it. And so we believe things like this myth. My anger is not my fault. Now, this is an especially popular myth with stewers, because if you like to stew, you like to think that you are the victim. And that's why you give yourself permission to stew. And if you want to have a bad attitude, you will always be able to find a bad reason to have that bad attitude. But remember what we said earlier in this series. Blaming never leads to freedom. Free people do not let other people control how they are going to act or react or think. That bears repeating. Free people do not let other people control how they are going to act or react or think. So the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. If your temper was not ultimately your responsibility, then the Bible would never use this phrase, be slow to become angry. The Bible says stop blaming and own responsibility for how we act to people and situations. The wrong may not be your fault, but the anger is. But you still might be thinking, you know what, I was just born this way. You think I have a bad temper? You should have seen my daddy. No, here's the truth. Anger is a learned behavior. Somewhere in the past, we realized that anger is an effective way to get our way. Whether by spewing or by stewing, we learned that if we will exhibit anger, we can get what we want. It's not about genetics. It's about agendas. Besides, you may have been born that way, but you have been born again. And that means that now the Holy Spirit who lives in you gives you the capacity to exhibit patience and kindness and peace and gentleness and self-control. So the biblical position is that anger is an option. Do not say, I just couldn't help it. I had no choice. No. The new person in Christ cannot justify anger as the only possible response. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. How many of you need to hear those words? Now, today, not after I've worked on this for a while, now is the time to get rid of it. Today is the day to get free. And you will not get free as long as you continue to justify these kinds of myths. Jesus said that truth sets us free. So here are a couple of anger truths that you need to be aware of. First, anger is a window to the heart. Remember, anger is not wrong if it is produced by a passion for what is right. This is something that we can see in the Gospels when Jesus got angry. He got angry when he went into the temple and he saw people committing fraud and deceit, and they were preventing people from having an encounter with God. There was one occasion on a Sabbath day in a synagogue where there was a sick man, and the religious leaders wanted to see if Jesus was going to heal this man on the Sabbath so that they could accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. They cared more about their tradition than they did about a man who was sick. And the Bible says that made Jesus angry, because Jesus lived by two rules: love God, love people. That's what he cared about. Here's the truth about anger. Anger reveals what you care about. Anger reveals what we value. Jesus was angry if God was dishonored or if people were dismissed, because that's what he cared about. Do you know when I am most apt to become angry? While I am driving. And too often, my anger reveals to me what I value most is me. I value my time, my story, my feelings, me. But here's what the Bible says about most of our anger. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? I would say that more than 90% of the time when I have lost my temper, it is not because God is being dishonored or because people are being mistreated. It was because my story was being interrupted in some way. My order got messed up at the restaurant. Somebody cut me off on the road. Some referee made the wrong call and my team lost. Something didn't happen at the house and I did not get my way. Anger is a smoke detector. And it reveals that something is wrong below the surface. Yes, Cain was angry at his brother Abel and killed him, but below the surface, he was a man with wounded pride who felt like God should respect what it was that he offered. And as we have studied, Saul was angry at David. He even tried to kill him. But it was a cover for all of his insecurity and jealousy that he felt beneath the surface because of David's success. The elder brother was furious at his younger brother and even at his father for throwing him a party. And it was simply a cover because of the ugliness below the surface of a man who did not like grace and did not want his brother to be given a second chance. So Jesus is not into surface behavior modification. Jesus does heart surgery. For example, in the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus raises the bar. His goal is not just for you to have surface behavior conformity. He wants you to deal with the ugly stuff in your heart. Because you cannot love God and you cannot love people with a heart that is full of anger. Because, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, love is not easily angered. And when we ignore that truth, we just invite more and more lies from the father of lies. Because anger is not just a window, it is a door for the devil. When you hold on to anger, you let the enemy get a hold on you. The angry heart invites satanic intrusion, and it becomes a base camp for the warden who is behind every kind of bondage. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I'm just going to stop for a moment and speak to married couples on that. How many times have you disobeyed those words in your own marriage? Let's be honest. Some of you are in bondage, and your real problem actually is anger, even though that's not the bondage that you're thinking about. But it is your anger that is letting the devil in, who is the warden of every kind of bondage. And notice, Satan is not given credit for the anger. We live in a fallen world, and the fallout of fallenness is constant frustration. Satan is not given credit for every time you get angry, but he takes total credit for trying to leverage that anger into bondage. And you cannot stay irritated and not wind up incarcerated. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." Control. If you cannot control your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls. You are open to attack. And that's why, by the way, the story of Nehemiah in our Bibles is so important. His rebuilding was so important to Jerusalem because it could never thrive. It could never prosper without those walls being built up. And the Bible says you, in your life, are the exact same way. If you do not control your anger, you are helpless to the assault of the enemy. Anger is like acid. It does more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than it does onto which the things it is poured. And I'll tell you something else. You cannot be a credible witness to the Prince of Peace if you have a reputation of being an angry person. You can listen to sermons on the internet and even put a Bible on your desk at work, but if your reputation is that you are a quickly angered soul, you cannot give credible testimony to the Prince of Peace. When Da Vinci was painting The Last Supper, he became very angry at a person in the marketplace one day, and he even threatened him. He lashed out at him. He went back to his studio, and he was working on, at that particular time, the face of Christ. And he realized he couldn't. He tried, but he couldn't. He put down his work, and he left his studio, and he went back, and he found that man, and he asked him to forgive him. He said, I cannot continue to work on Jesus while this anger is inside of me. Now, I said I'm not going to tell you to never feel angry. That would be foolish. What I am going to say is even if we cannot remain anger-free, we can remain free from anger. Because we can control it instead of letting it control us. We can be slow to become angry. And the way to be slow is to learn how to be quick. And two things that will help. First, be quick to let the Holy Spirit touch your heart. Ask the Spirit of Truth when you feel anger starting to rise up its ugly head, what is going on underneath the surface so that anger doesn't just pirate your life. Instead of saying something to the person who is making you angry, say something to God. Something like this. Lord, examine my heart in this matter. Should I even be angry? Are my motives pure? Show me if my anger is exposing an area of my life where you and I need to just go to work. Let me get very personal. If you do a job like mine, you get a lot of feedback. And I get an enormous amount of support and praise, a lot more than I deserve. I get a small amount of criticism, and most of that I do deserve. But there is a small percentage of criticism that I get from time to time that I do not deserve. It's toxic. It's ugly. And I remember going through a period where I had gotten more than my share of ugly. And I was talking to the Lord about it because honestly, my attitude was beginning to sour. And I was sharing with the Lord how unfair I thought all of this was, and I was playing the victim card. But you think about a body, a corpse, not in a casket, just laying on the ground. If you go up to that corpse and you kick that corpse, trying to wound it, what happens? Nothing. It's dead. But if you have a living person laying on the ground and you go up to that person, you kick them to wound them, you'll see a reaction. Any volunteers? When you have died to self, you don't feel all those kicks anymore. A lot of times we feel the hurts we feel because we have not fully died to self. And we hold anger in check by asking God to check our hearts. And you will take anger captive before it can capture you. And God cares about your character than he does about your comfort. Might actually use the whole situation that made you angry to make Jesus more visible in your life by the way that you respond. So be quick to let the Holy Spirit search your heart, and then be quick to lead with prayer and forgiveness. If you hold on to anger, it will begin to hold you. So decide in advance that you are going to act instead of react to wrongs. You are going to pray for the people who made you angry. You are going to choose not to hold it against them. You are going to bless them and not curse them, just like Jesus said to you. And you might be thinking, but I've got a good reason to be angry. They don't deserve forgiveness. Be very careful. Because you and I need to be very, very glad that God, who has every reason to think that way, chooses not to. Does God have a good reason to be angry with you? Does God give you grace and forgiveness that you deserve? God chose instead to pour out His wrath on Jesus and not me. And that should be a game changer. So another time, in another letter, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? Why do all of that? Just as in Christ God forgave you. And so you say, you do not owe me. I refuse to build a case against you. I refuse to hold a grudge against you. I'm not saying what you did was right. I am saying that life is too short and my own need for grace is too great. You are forgiven. And you let the person you could be angry with out of jail, and in turn, you don't go to prison. I want you to look at this picture. Sorry that I don't have a better picture. This is from 1973, and it's one of the most famous fights in basketball history. Rudy Tomjanovich was on the bench when this fight actually broke out, and he ran onto the court just to try to stop the fight. And Kermit Washington swung and hit him in the face. His skull was fractured. His cheek and jawbone were completely shattered. There were months and months of recovery, and Tomjanovich was never the same after that particular moment. Years later, he was asked by a reporter what he thought when he remembered that particular incident, and he said, I don't think anything. I've totally forgiven and moved on. What? You've totally forgiven the man who cost you almost your life and ruined your career. Yes, I've totally forgiven him. How could you do that? Why would you do that? And Rudy said, I knew if I wanted to move on with my life, I had to let it go. I did not do it for him. I did it so I could be free. You, my friend, are under orders. Jesus has told you to pray for people that don't like you. Bless them. Ask God to anoint them. And when you do that, you can get out of bed every morning and not be mad. And that is so freeing. Today is the day to get rid of anger. So I want you to do something with me. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead you in prayer. I want you to bow your head. Praise team doesn't need to come forward yet. You just stay there. I want you to bow your head. And I want you in your mind to say this. Lord, today, not in a little while, not later, not in a few weeks, but today, God, I want there to be a tangible difference in my life about how I handle angry situations. Now, this is going to be harder. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to put on your heart right now a person or a situation. And I want you to say to the Lord, today, I'm letting it go, Lord. It wasn't right, but I do not want to be in bondage. I do not want to discredit my witness to Jesus by my anger. So give that situation, give that person over to God right now. Father, this is hard. But it was not easy to send Jesus to the cross where you poured out the wrath on him that we deserved. So, God, help us to live our lives out of that love. Help us leave all of the wrath that anybody deserves at the cross of Jesus this morning. We can only do this, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we invite your Holy Spirit this morning to help us in this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.